Phoebe Ryder here. Welcome to Pegging Paradise podcast number 205 on June 26th, 2018. Changing the world one ass at a time. If you would like to support my efforts to offer accurate information and deconstruct the misconceptions surrounding pegging, take a break and don't head over to Patreon quite yet. Because my page is still suspended, I swear to God. But when it's not suspended, and it's working just fine, and the censorship trolls are done fucking with me, oh my God, all patrons have access to a 24/7 chat channel, and they also get the podcast a day early. And the chat channel is full of pegging practitioners from all over the world. It's a way cool place to be. And there's a bunch of different reward levels for various levels of support, including written and audio erotica to excite and inspire. When the page is back up again, which I have no idea will happen, but I have my little hands together and I'm praying that it's before the end of the month, you will be able to go to patreon.com/rubyrider or click the support my work button on the right-hand side of my website. Another way to support my work, which is far less complicated at the moment, is through EnticeMe.com, the little black dress of pleasure products. EnticeMe offers a carefully curated selection of luxury, body-safe, non-toxic toys for your enjoyment. Just go to EnticeMe.com, #RubyRider, and for 15% off of your entire purchase, use the coupon code RIDER, that's RYDER. And if you'd like assistance figuring out which pegging equipment is the best choice for you, I do offer free equipment phone consultations for customers of EnticeMe. You will be supporting my efforts to change hearts and minds about pegging. So the Patreon update is not an update of who has pledged, because since the last podcast, my page has been suspended the whole time. Here's what's happening at Patreon. I have neutered the hell out of my Patreon page until it is a shadow of its former self. I have connected Patreon to pegging101.com, where it was a simple matter to pull down just a few photographs which did not comply with their current standards. Otherwise, they gave me a list of 50 things I would have needed to change, and about 25 of those were photographs that I would have had to take off of my Pegging Paradise site, and that was not an exhaustive list, mind you. So I took a good long look at the situation and realized that now is not a good time to change platforms because I would lose patrons, and we are existing right now in a very censorship-heavy environment. That has been spurred on by the current administration. So any other choice that I made of a platform to process payments, I would encounter potentially the same issue. Apparently PayPal and the big banks are really, really, really concerned that anything I put up on Patreon is not intended to arouse. I asked them a bunch of questions like, how do you expect me to be a sex educator and not sexualize things? So I guess being a sex educator is okay. I guess they just want me to do it in really clinical terms and not get too sexy. So nothing has changed in terms of what you will receive if you are a patron. But it's going to be completely separate from Patreon because that's the only way this is going to work. So I'm a little ticked. And at the same time, my resolve is strong. And I'm going to continue riding this wave and being one of the pioneers that is bringing sex positivity and sex education and frank discussion about sexuality to the masses, basically. So, yeah, I'm going to play their game for a little bit. Right now, they're pretty much going to be a glorified payment processor for me, but it will make it quite convenient for any of those of you who are interested in supporting what I do. Being a sex educator is not an easy thing. First, when it comes to dating, one of three things usually happens. Either I intimidate the hell out of whoever it is I'm dating because my ability to speak frankly and openly about sexual desires and sex, period, intimidates the hell out of them, or I end up endlessly facilitating their need to express themselves and communicate because they just don't have the skills yet. Or I'm seen as down to fuck because I am a sex educator, so of course I'm down to fuck anybody and everybody, right? So those are the things that happen with dating. And then just because I am a sex educator, I alienate about 60% of the population who is not okay with sex being talked about out loud. And the pay sucks. So I do this because I have a passion for it, because I love what I teach about. I just taught a webinar this morning. And every time I teach, I'm kind of floored by how much I love it. It's almost like if I'm in a bad mood, I just need to teach because it's such a cool thing. It excites me so much to share all this knowledge that I have. And this is why the webinars are free. The givers can get in for free. The receivers are asked for a $15 donation. But of course, they can get in free if funds would keep them away. My interest is in spreading the knowledge, not to make a ton of money off of webinars. Because the more people that know about this, the more people that are going to talk about it and be okay with it. And eventually, it'll be something that's a little more normalized. Now, I know that some of you out there don't really want it to get normalized because you love that little naughty taboo thing that you're doing. And it's a turn on. But I think that that is an okay price to pay. There's lots of other fetishes and things and kinks that you can explore that are still quite naughty and taboo. My goal is to normalize pegging so that we can all be okay with talking about it in everyday terms, so that men can be okay saying, "I love this. Are you kidding me? Best orgasms I've ever had." And women can say, "Oh yeah, strap one on and do him. One of my favorite things." So there you go. It's kind of a rant and a kind of a whine, I guess, and not a nice dry red Merlot. No, more of a, this is a pain in the ass kind of whine. So thanks for listening. I'm going to stop talking about Patreon now and just cross my fingers that the guy who's been dealing with me is going to look at my new setup on my Patreon page and give me the all clear. And I will be back up before the end of the month. My last letter to Fred said this: "Okay, Fred, check my page, please. You win, or rather, PayPal does, and Patreon caves in its, quote, support, end quote, of adult content providers, just so I name what is going on here. All the best, Ruby." So yeah, I caved because don't have much of a choice right now, and my fingers are crossed that everything will be up and running very soon. The one last little part about being a sex educator is that it can really get exhausting because there are so many fronts that are against you, kind of, and hamper your business practices, give you difficulty with setting up websites, won't do your payment processing. It can get really exhausting. One of the amazing things about it, besides spreading all of this wonderful knowledge to you all, is that I also have a total group of friends that's like a tribe. We're all sex educators. We're all kind of hunkered down together, weathering the storm right now. And they are phenomenal people. They are strong people. In my spiritual beliefs, I believe that we do come down here to learn certain things, and that some people choose different roles. And I think that the sex educators and people in the sex positive fields, all of them right now, who are at the front of this wave, trying to move people towards sex positivity and away from sex negativity, those people that have chosen to be here right now doing this, we are strong ass motherfuckers, because it takes a strong person to do this. It would be easier in a whole lot of ways to just say, you know what, screw it, I'm going to go have a 9-to-5, have the benefits, not have to worry about paying the bills, and everyone will think I am more normal and treat me like I'm normal, as opposed to I'm a little strange and I can't be invited to parties and such. But please don't have any fear that I'm going to get up and walk away from this microphone. I wouldn't trade my life right now for anything. Because there's a richness in it that comes from being open and authentic. Oh my gosh, the freedom to speak authentically and be exactly who I am. there is a satisfaction that I find in this work that I don't find in any other work. I feel it very, very strongly when I teach. Like I said, that webinar this morning was a shot in the arm. Oh my God, I had so much fun. Okay, now I think I'm done. I know I said the first time I was done, but I guess I had a little bit more whining to do. Thank you all for listening, and let's get to your emails. So between the time that I recorded this and the time that I sat down to edit it this morning, Patreon, on a Sunday afternoon, no less, did send me a message. I heard from Fred. My page is back up. It was quite a long letter. It was on the obsequious end of being diplomatic and apologetic, practically. But the page is back up. He apologized for being so heavy-handed and pretty much said that he didn't really have a choice, in so many words. Anyway, it's back up, it's happening. And what made me feel really, really good was that I actually got a new pledge right away, right after it went back up. Yes. Chris, you pledged $5 to my newly neutered but backup and functional Patreon account, and you will be getting all kinds of wonderful things in an email very soon. I appreciate your patronage, Chris. Thank you so much for the pledge. And Jim was kind enough to send in a one-time donation of $150 as an early birthday present for me. So sweet. Thank you so, so much. Really appreciate your generosity. And yes, my birthday is coming at the end of the month for anybody who didn't know. Okay, now we're going to get to your emails. About a year ago, I brought up the idea of pegging with my wife. She was totally turned off by it, thought it meant I was interested in men. After convincing her to listen to your podcast, she agreed to try it. At first, she still didn't like it, but was willing to try for me. She has slowly come around and recently said, it turns her on a little, if nothing else, for the fact that it feels good to me. So we have spare parts Jacques and the Tantus curve. I'm feeling the need for something a little bigger. From some of the things I've read on your site, it seems the flexible dildos probably won't work. I'm having trouble deciding on the right one. I like the curve of the Tantus curve, but it seems when you go to something bigger, they don't have the curve. I also prefer something a little more realistic as far as smoothness. I have found that really smooth doesn't stimulate me as much. So I guess I'm looking for something around 8 inches long that's still realistic and not smooth. The only ones I find like that are either flexible or really thick, which I also don't want. The thickness of the curve, or maybe slightly thicker, is what I'm looking for, I think. My other question is about the harness. My wife usually finds she has to use one hand to sort of secure the dildo to her, which makes it harder for her to really fuck me good. In other words, it sort of pulls away from her body when she pulls back away from me. I know the other harness you recommend is the Minx, I think. Would that work better? Thank you, Anderson. Anderson, thank you so much for writing in with all of these lovely questions and for sharing your story with us. First of all, I want to comment on the persistence that you had. That you first asked her to try it, and she said, you must be gay, and then you sent her to my podcast. I'm assuming 112 would be the podcast. And then she said, well, okay, I'll try it if it's important to you. She was being GGG, and then she got into it. I'm loving it. That's persistence. Good on you, and good on her for being GGG. So let's fine-tune your equipment. You mentioned that the Tantus curved dildo is the one that you really like, but you're wanting something a little longer, but about the same diameter. Well, I'm curious if you have had, first of all, any dildos longer than that, because when you have a really long dildo, like 8 inches, what you're asking for, what it does do is it comes up against that second sphincter, which separates the colon from the rectal canal. If you intentionally want to go there and push through this a little bit, then you're asking for the right length of toy. But if you have not had a toy that has gone that deep, you may have a collection of other toys, and if you have anything else that long, I would try that first before I would buy a really long dildo, because that is a sensation that is something you have to want. Some men love it. Some men think that it feels like you're kind of hitting bottom. It's really uncomfortable. Some men think it feels painful. So if you haven't already tried something really long, that's something I would advise before you spend a bunch of money on a big dildo. You are going to pay a pretty penny for something that long. Like I always say, everyone's individual. The fact that you really like the curve, the Tantus curve, tells me that you have a prostate that loves a lot of stimulation. You can get that stimulation two different ways. So the curve toy is one method of getting a lot of stimulation. Another method of getting a lot of stimulation is diameter. You can try a bigger toy, because the bigger diameter of the toy, the more it's going to push against that prostate. You are right that the bigger toys, the 8 inches long, do tend to be a little bit floppier and not as firm. There is absolutely an answer to this, though. If you go to Bad Dragon Toys, and let's see, the website, of course I'm going to put it in the Linkorama, but let me announce it here on the podcast. Yeah, so it's bad-dragon.com, and they have a huge variety of toys. Now, they're not necessarily going to look really realistic. In fact, Bad Dragon is known for their rather fantastical, fantasy-oriented dildos. However, you will find texture there, absolutely. There's a number of them that look kind of like real cocks, and one in particular that is curved, but it's not nearly as long as you want. I don't think I have an answer for a firm dildo that is long and curved. The reason that I think they don't make them that way is because if it's curved, that far end of an 8-inch long dildo is going to be nowhere near your prostate when you have it all the way in there. The curve is 1.37 inches in diameter, which is not very wide. So you could probably go as big as like a 1.5. And there is a dildo offered by Bad Dragon. I believe it's called Elliot. It does have balls on the end, and you can have it be any color that you want. But the cool thing about Bad Dragon is it comes in varying levels of firmness. So you can choose the firmer type as opposed to the softer type. I still don't know if that's going to be firm enough for you, and I don't know if 8 inches long is really something that you've tried out and know that you want to go that deep. But I would suggest taking a look over there, because that seems like the best option. So now let's talk about the harness. The disadvantage of a fabric harness, which are all the spare parts harnesses, is that you're going to have a little bit of play. Quarter inch, maybe as much as half an inch, depending on how tightly your ass grips that dildo going in and out, right? So when it pulls away a little bit, when you push back in, you come back up against it. Some givers are not bothered by that at all, but clearly your wife is. So yes, the leather harnesses completely eliminate that. You can cinch a leather harness down tightly so that that dildo is right snug up against you. There's no give, and it feels kind of like a part of you, if you will. No play in it at all, so she would not have to hold it going in or out at all anymore. And I'm going to be excited to hear what it's like for her when she can truly fuck you hands-free. Might be a wild scene at your house. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a link to Bad Dragon. I'm going to put a link to the Minx harness as well as the Jaguar. And you can go from there. That is the best advice I have for you at this time. And congratulations for having the patience to work through that. Congratulations to your wife for discovering that this is something she kind of really enjoys. And that you're sizing up for the first time for your new toy. So yay. Thanks for the letter. Here's the next email. Hey Ruby, we were hoping you might have an answer or would be able to crowdsource. My wife and I would like to find a thicker dildo for pegging. We currently have the Vixen Outlaw, and we would like to move up to something that's 2.25 inches in diameter. However, we don't want to go really longer than 8 inches. Actually, we would be happier in the 7 to 7.5-inch range. We had found the Vamp Greta, and it seemed perfect, but I'm not sure if they are even in business anymore. We both love the work you do and are glad that you are feeling much better. Thank you. Okay, so first of all, the Vamp Silicone, shows all the signs of a business going under. I would not order from them. I don't think they are doing much business at all. You want something 2.25 and 7 inches long. So the first thing that I notice is that your choice of the Vixen Mustang. The Mustang is made out of Vixskin, which is that softer dual density type of dildo. And the maximum diameter of the Mustang is 1.58 of an inch. Going from 1 and 5/8 to 2.25 is a bit of a jump. I have to notice that. There is a toy that Tantus offers called the General. And the General starts off, it's not realistic, it has a slight curve to it, but it basically has sort of like three humps, if you will. It starts off at 1.9 inches, and it's unrealistic and has a rounded head to it, kind of. It doesn't have a pronounced head that's bigger than the rest. So that first hump, getting the first one in, is 1.9 inches, and then it goes to 2.0, and then it goes to 2.2. Doesn't quite go up to the 2.25, but you might find it a good option because it is 7 inches long, so it totally fits exactly into your length specifications, and it gradually goes from 1.9 to 2.2. as opposed to the entire shaft being 2.25. So it's an option anyway. It's called the General. I put a link in the Linkorama for you. I did a bit of looking around for you, and there are a whole bunch of options, of course, over at Bad Dragon, but those are kind of interesting. They do have so many choices that you could spend a lot of time there. If you want to research over there, click the link that I left for the guy before you and check it out, because pretty much every single dildo they offer, they have in different sizes, and they have really good size charts telling you exactly what the diameter widest portion is, and then the shaft of it, and then if there's a hump in it, how big that is, how long it is, and not just how long the whole toy is, but the insertable length, which is what you're concerned about too. They have a fabulous website full of all the information you need to make a good decision. So take a look over there, because there are some dildos there that may appeal to you in the fantastical artsy type, or there are some that look a little bit more like normal dildos. Bad Dragon is not really normal, and that's okay. They're fantastical, and that's good enough. But take a look over there and see if you can find anything that fits the bill. I took a look around, and I kept finding things like 2 inches in diameter, but then 9 inches long. So yeah, I see what you mean. It's a little bit difficult to find. I do think that the General might fit the bill, so I'll put the link for it in the Linkorama. I checked Fun Factory. They don't really seem to have anything. I checked Godemeish. They don't really have anything. They're overseas, so it'd be more to ship it over here. Oh my goodness, for a while there I got lost in dildo land. Here is what I'm going to do. I am going to put some links of three good possible makers of toys on the Linkorama for you. One is called the New York Toy Collective. One is called Uberim, U-B-E-R-R-I-M-E. And the last one is called Babes and Horny, and of course, Bad Dragon. So for you people out there looking for a specific type, a specific size, specific length, those are some additional places for you to check out, because I just spent half an hour looking around and I need to get my podcast done. So this will give you some cool places to look for exactly what you want in terms of realism, lack thereof, diameter, length, harness compatible, the whole thing. So all of those links are going to be in the Linkorama for you, and good luck searching and hunting for the perfect dildo, and let us know what you end up with and how you like it. Okay, back from dildo land, here I am reading the next email. Who says that? Back from dildo land, Ruby Ryder says that. Hi, Ruby. I recently, in the last year, began to accept my love for anal play. As long as I can remember, I have known that playing with my ass felt good. I remember stealing my mother's tampons in my early teens and inserting them while masturbating. Man, it feels good to admit that comfortably. It's not just the feeling, but the naughtiness and pushing the norms of it that is so erotic. Over the past year, I have done a lot of self-exploration and learned a lot about my sexuality. Accepting my desire for anal play, and that means everything to do with it as well. My curiosity for BDSM, water sports, snowballing with my wife, sucking off the dildo, voyeurism, and the list goes on. Bringing the idea of pegging up to my wife was one of the hardest things ever. Growing up with the guilt of thinking something was wrong with me for wanting to put things in my ass was hard to get over. My wife and I recently began exploring my ass via butt plugs and now an 8-inch dildo that is amazing. She has begun to really open to this as well. She's discovered that she loves how much enjoyment I get out of her rimming me. She gets so aroused when I get aroused. I can't wait until she actually straps one on. Because of my love for anal pleasure, she gave anal another try as well, and likes me fingering, eating, and fucking her ass. It has brought us closer together. As of now, she has fucked me with the dildo once and while holding it in her hand. It was extremely intimate. She was in the missionary position, letting me suck her breasts and kissing me. Thing is, I still somewhat hide how much anal exploration I do on my own, as well as some other things I am aroused by. Although I have opened up to her for the most part, I still hold back the fact that I love stretching myself and love big, thick anal toys. I one day want to be fisted. The feeling of having my ass filled up with big plugs and toys is fantastic. I can only imagine what a fist would be like. I have so many kinks now, and at first she was overwhelmed by my desires. I am at the point now where it feels so good to enjoy my sexuality that I just can't hold back. I want to go further into more kinks and fetishes, but don't want to scare her off and have her close back up. How do I know what a comfortable pace is with adding new activities? She has shown she likes receiving impact play and giving. We are wanting to learn more about playtime involving dom and sub switching. We get pretty freaky already, but I still desire more and want to one day be okay with just saying, I'm heading into the other room to fuck my ass and explore. Should I take a video? Listening to your podcast has been so enlightening, and you truly have been a blessing to me and coming to terms with my complex sexuality. I identify as straight, and really guys don't turn me on, but it turns me on to think that if she desired to have a three-way with a guy, and for him and I to touch each other, I would. To say that and not question my sexuality is freeing. Also, I would love to eventually be able to have sex with her in front of others, and have her move forward with her curiosity of having another girl please her. Oh my, I have said so much. I probably just need to book a consultation. Ha, there is so much more I wish to discuss. Thanks again for making this normal and bringing all of us together through your work, Aaron. Aaron, wow, what a letter. Thank you for sending that in. That's amazing. So, coming to terms with that you really love large toys and anal play is difficult for the vast majority of men, so you are not alone. And if I have done anything and put anything out there in the world that has helped you with that, I am so happy, because it's just one more kink. It's just one more thing that you love to do. I know that when people who enjoy really big toys are being fisted or things like that, tell their partners about that, usually the first thing that their partners think is that there's some fear there, that you're going to ruin your body, that you're going to hurt yourself, that you're going to become incontinent in some manner, and that sort of thing. So the reassurance and information is something she would definitely need to have access to, ready at the hand when you talk with her about it. Now, as far as, you know, you got a whole bunch of things you want to tell her about, and you're having a hard time holding back with all of these, here's what I would suggest. I would suggest that you go to mojoupgrade.com. I've talked about it many times on this podcast, and what it is a place where you go online and they have you a whole bunch of questions about all kinds of different kinky and freaky things that you can do sexually with your partner. So what you do is you individually go on there and you kind of sign up together so that your accounts are connected, and then you fill out the questionnaire yourself and she fills it out independently, not in front of each other, okay? And you say yes, no, or maybe. And then it combines your answers and it gives you a finished list that only contains ones that both of you have said yes, one of you has said yes, and one of you has said maybe, or both of you have said maybe. If either of you say no, that doesn't appear on the list. So then you have this whole freaking list of things. And I would suggest that in reward, so to speak, and appreciation for her being so good, giving in game and exploring all this with you, think about what it would be like if you let her determine the pace of this. Like, for example, you have this list of all the different stuff that you can explore with each other. And, you know, time goes by and you're like, honey, I want to do something more on the list. I want to try something on the list tonight. Can we do that? Or next week or tomorrow night or whatever. Whenever you next have sexy times planned, I don't know what your lives are like and if you schedule it and if you have regular times or if it's all spontaneous, but you could be the one that just gives her a little nudge and says, can we do something on the list? You know, and then she chooses, because that way it's more to her comfort level. Now, you always have the option of saying at some point in time, okay, I'd really like to do sexy times, and I know I've let you choose everything up to this point, but this one thing here, right there, and you point to it, I really want to do this. So you can play with the boundaries around that to something that works good for you, but what that does is it eliminates the need for you guys to have all of those super scary conversations. At least they can be super scary, they don't have to be, about each and every one of those kinks. And the fear of feeling judged. You know where she's on board with a whole bunch of them. Now, if what you really want to do is not there on the list, then you need to sit down and have a conversation about it. Because if she's already put no, that might be a firm no. Or it might not. Sometimes opinions change about things. Sometimes she may have misconceptions about something that you want to do, and vice versa. She may want to do something you have misconceptions about. So if you sit down and talk about it, communication, the magic word, communication, many times it'll kind of go something like this. I want you to dominate me. And she thinks he wants her to tie him to the bed, dress him up in a female clothes, beat the crap out of him, take a crop and hit his cock and balls, and then fuck him in the ass. And he just wants her to be a little more forceful and kind of push him down on the bed and fuck him in the ass. See what I mean? It could be so different. It could be so different. So this is where the communication comes in. And if you have an idea of water sports and she's thinking, oh my God, I have to clean the rug. And you're thinking, no, we do this in the bathtub. See what I mean? So anyway, start off with Mojo Upgrade and go from there is what I would suggest for you. And I can't wait until she straps one on and you write that story in and I play the music for you. It's going to be so fun. And one last thing. In terms of letting her know about your big toys, I think that that would just be something that one night you just sort of come out with and say, look, you know, we're doing all this way cool stuff. We're closer together. You're receiving anal. I'm receiving anal. We're having a lot of fun with this and we're experiencing a lot of pleasure. So I need to kind of come clean and let you know that actually I like to do solo play. And this is how I discovered that I have this amazing amount of pleasure in my ass. And I have done solo play my whole life. And I'm actually up to some pretty big toys. And I'm happy to show you what they are. But I would like to become more comfortable with this solo play. And I would like it to be something that I don't have to hide from you. You don't have to necessarily share it with me. But it's something that I would like to feel like I don't have to hide from you and that I feel okay about. Because I'm trying to let go of shame around my sexual kinks and desires in all areas of my sexuality. So let's talk about this, you know, kind of like that. That was off the top of my head. If any of that feels like it's the right thing to say, grab it and use it. And one more thing about the Mojo Upgrade. The more that she gets to explore her sexuality too, the happier partner you are going to have. So that's where the Mojo Upgrade's fine. That way it doesn't feel to her like it's this big list that you're kind of making demands about. And demand is a powerful word, and I don't mean to make it sound that way. But if you have this big list that you want to explore and you're really enthusiastic about it, it can come off that way. So be very careful to include her fantasies in all of this as well, and make sure that you are exploring her stuff and that she's getting a thrill out of it and she's having a good time too. Yes, both of you. Absolutely. Okay, that is the best advice I have for you, Erin. Thank you so much for the question. And I'd be happy to book a consultation with you anytime. Okay, this is something I got on Reddit. Thank you for the message you spread. I am a 43-year-old bi guy in a 24/7 female-led relationship. My mistress is upset with me after finding out that I had a few conversations with another submissives on the Whisperer app. The conversation I had with the other sub was an innocent one, nothing intimate or sexual. I just feel so isolated in my role as a submissive. The town I live in doesn't have an active kink community, so there are no meet and greets or munches to attend. And even if there were, my mistress is pretty introverted, so we probably wouldn't attend anyway. I went behind her back, and that's what broke the trust. I've deleted the Whisperer app, and I am working towards earning her trust again. I am building her a flogger to use on me as a punishment. I enjoy impact play, but I'm making this one a tad more stingy. As I sit and do the weaving on the handle, I consider my mistake. I suggested she flog me until I cry. She liked the idea. We need a reset, and I think this may work. I've heard you mention spanking a play partner until he cried. I was wondering if you had any advice when doing this. I'm a listener from the beginning. I first heard about the details of pegging on the Sex is Fun podcast, and I found your podcast soon thereafter. I started with the Lilo Bob, and now, 10 years later, we use toys around 2.75 inches in diameter with the spare parts harness, which is about the maximum for that harness without modifying it. If you ever wanted to pick my brain about my experiences, feel free to ask me. Some things we take part in are femdom, chastity, HFO. Okay, dang, I gotta look that up. Aha, hands-free orgasm. You would think I would know that one. I've never seen it used as an acronym. HFO, being in a masculine industry, parentheses, oil field, and loving it in my ass. Long-distance femdom marriages. I work for 4 to 6 weeks at a time, then go home for 2 to 4 weeks. And we maintain edging, orgasm control while I am away. You have taught us a lot, Ruby. Thanks again. Oh, there is a lot to this letter. So, let's start off in the beginning. It's really important, I believe, when you have a dominant, submissive dynamic in your relationship, to be able to talk with other submissives, because that is your support system, especially if she is introverted and you don't feel like you have the support you need, that you feel isolated, you said. So, FetLife is an easy solution. You can get on there and go to groups where it's submissives only. You can talk with the submissive people. You can ask any questions. You can read what they read. And you can have it be a totally above board situation where she has the same login. She can look at all of your interactions with anybody, whatever messages you're getting. So it will be very transparent, which will help build the trust again between you. It is kind of upsetting when you find that someone's gone behind your back, and it clearly would have been better if you had expressed that you feel isolated and need support to her instead of going behind her back. But what's done is done. I do actually kind of like your idea of getting flogged until you cry. And my experience with that is that there is an emotional threshold that it takes a little while to get to. And it's important when you get there to go just a little further. And the reason I say that is because especially men have been taught to tamp those tears down, put them away, put them in a little box, and suppress them no matter what. If you stop right when the person starts to cry, it's too easy for them to put those tears back in the box, suppress the tears, and then that does not get you what you really want, which is that cathartic release. If the cathartic release is something that you want too, then have her not stop right when you start crying. Have her take it a little bit further. Now, if it's just a goal of her getting you to the point where you start to cry and it's more for her than it is for you and you're not looking for that cathartic release, then she can stop as soon as you start to have tears. It's really up to you. It's a negotiation you two need to make together. But that is the input I have for it. It's nice when the person's tied down so they can't get up, and it's nice when it has a relentless feel to it, like it's never going to end. That, I believe, is what kind of breaks down those walls of I can't cry and opens you up a bit so that those tears come. So that's what I know about impact play that leads to tears. And your other thing that you mentioned that I wanted to comment on was you use toys 2.75 in diameter with the spare parts harness because really they're only designed to take 2 to 2.25. So I'm thinking you've got a super soft toy that you are pushing in there pretty hard. That's intense. But if you can make it work, then go for it. It sounds like you have a wonderful dynamic, especially bringing that into play with the female-led relationship and the fact that you two are back and forth all the time and that you don't spend all your time together because of the nature of the business you're in with the traveling back and forth. So yeah, it sounds juicy. I like it. Thank you so much for writing in, and I hope that she is amenable to the idea of FetLife and you getting support from other submissives. I hope she is open to that idea. And I hope that the flogging goes well. Thank you very much for the question. Okay, this is a message I got on FetLife. Sure, I occasionally receive, but I have been having fun strapping a couple of ladies that like it. So I'm trying to find a better built and sturdy harness to buy for me to wear. If you can advise, I would appreciate it, as I do not want a cheap, flimsy one. Cheers. So, first of all, sir, kudos to you for being willing to strap one on and do the ladies. That's awesome. There are a lot of men out there that shy away from that, so good on you that you do not. Now, you're going to want something that's comfortable for you, so you're going to want a harness that is built for a man to wear, since you have those lovely dangly bits that can get in the way with a normal harness that a female would wear without the dangly bits. The best one I know is the Spare Parts Deuce. It has a little pocket kind of down below where your dangly bits can be nestled in there if you aren't hard. But right there where that pocket is also another hole. So if you have any aspirations to do dual penetration with your cock and a toy, you can do it with that as well. The upper hole is the one that's going to hold the dildo that you do the ladies with, right? And you can switch that out to any size those ladies love. It's a great product. There are also a couple of different options with the Deuce, depending on how big you are built. If you are built particularly large, they have the Deuce Magnum. They don't unfortunately have one that has a bigger hole up top for you to switch it out to a really huge toy, like 2.5 or 3 inches, but the Deuce Magnum will allow your biocock to be up to about 2.25 inches in diameter to fit through that hole. So measure yourself, sir, and order what works for you. I cannot recommend those products highly enough. They should be perfect for what you need. And this is another quick message on FetLife. Hi, I see you're into pegging. I have been getting used to this and love it. Now the question is, how or what position is the best for hitting the prostate? Is there any positional angle that is better than others for this to be hit to produce production? I don't think you wanted that to be the last word, but I get what you mean. You basically looking for a really good position for prostate stimulation. Well, this depends on a number of different factors than position. It depends on the girth of the toy, the firmness of the toy, whether the toy is curved or not, and what position you're in. So all those things come into play. When people are trying to do specifically more prostate stimulation, I suggest that they do that whole prostate sensitivity test. So if she's got fingers inside you and she strokes your prostate just a little bit, and you're like, whoa, that's intense, then you have a very sensitive prostate. If she does medium, and you're kind of like, whoa, that's when it feels really good, then you have a medium sensitivity one. And if she really has to stroke firmly, then you have a less sensitive one. That needs to be taken into consideration when you buy toys, because In my experience, the prostates that are less sensitive need firmer or girthier toys, sometimes both. Like we talked about earlier, the guy who had the Tantus Curve, that's a really good toy for someone who has a not as sensitive prostate. If you're really trying to target your prostate, the Tantus Curve is a lovely toy. I'm going to put the link for that in the Linkorama. Position-wise, okay, one of the positions that I have found to be quite good for prostate stimulation is face down with a regular non-curved dildo, and then you can, being the giver, you can kind of scoot up towards his head until it's sort of tweaking that dildo a little bit so it's going down in as opposed to in and up towards your head. It's going more at an angle where it's straight down and it's going to hit that prostate pretty intensely. This is, however, a position where it can fall out pretty easily, so that's part of the difficult end of things, so to speak. But, you know, any position you can really do this in. You just have to position the body right and think about where the toy is going. I've heard great things about the side saddle position, and I'll put a link to what that is, a picture for you. And I've also heard great things about just standing up and bending over the edge of the bed. I've heard that is a really good one. So you're standing and she's behind you standing, and I'm not sure if your bodies match up well enough to do that, but she's fucking you from behind and you're supporting your body by leaning over on the bed with your hands on the bed. And that is a position that one guy said, oh my God, it's like, it's a magic position for him. And he totally has prostate orgasms and everything. So that's another possibility for you. And with your partner, if you have a dildo that has any curve at all, or if you get that Tantus Curve, she needs to remember to turn that dildo around depending on what position you are in. If you are face down on the bed and she's going to lay on top of you, then she needs to have it curved downward, okay? If you're doing missionary, she needs to have it curved upward. Get the point. Just remember that it's in the same place as the G-spot, that whole come hither thing where you put the fingers in and go up towards the belly button on a woman for the G-spot. Same for the guy, for the prostate. So you're going to want to go in the ass and towards the front of you, toward the belly button. That is how to target it the best. Now, curved toy or no curved toy, some guys talk about the best stimulation they ever get from a toy. It's not positional, it's girth. So consider stepping up the girth a bit and finding out how that feels. I'm not sure what size toy you are using right now, but that's something to take into consideration. I wish I had the magic, do this and you'll get it, but it's so individual. Those are the suggestions I have, though. Thank you so much for the question. Alrighty then, a few more announcements before we end this amazing podcast. Yes, it will be my birthday at the end of the month, June 29th to be specific. I will be ending my 60th year, and I will be 61 years old. Holy crap. I think I said the same thing when I turned 60. Holy crap. It continues to be a feeling of, how did I ever get to be this age? But I'm having more fun in my life than I have ever had before, so there you have it. You never know what the future will bring, and sometimes getting older is fucking amazing. It certainly has been for me. So what can you get me for my birthday? Is anybody out there wondering? Here's what you can do for my birthday. I am just shy of reaching a quarterly goal with Tiffany of sales that will give me a 40% discount on any toys I want that she sells, right? The last time that happened was the last quarter of last year, and I got some way cool things at 40% off. So if I make just $261 more in sales for this quarter before the end of the month, then I will qualify for buying toys for myself at 40% off. And there are definitely some things I've had my eye on that Tiffany has. So I think this is a great win-win. You get toys, I get toys. We're both happy. We both have orgasms and a total win-win. Yes. So there you have it. What else can you get me for my birthday? Just get out there and be authentic and enjoy your sexuality. That's a gift enough for me, because that's what I want for everybody in this world. One of the things I'm also going to include in the Linkorama is the link for those snug plugs. And to remind you, those are the butt plugs with the really long necks that are great for people that have trouble keeping butt plugs in. They do come in quite a variety of sizes. So they have some larger ones, but the necks on them are really, really skinny and also fairly long. And I think those will be great for any of you out there that have had difficulty keeping your butt plugs in your butt. That'll be in the Linkorama. And check it. We are at the end of the podcast. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blogs, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. Also pegging101.com, where I have informational articles only with no kink attached. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps. You can find a sampling of those under the tab Follow on my website for any kind of phone you got. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you like. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, check out my Facebook page. If you order any sexy new toys from enticeme.com, remember to use that coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. Send your questions to Ruby at peggingparadise.com. No question is too tantalizing, too titillating, or too tricky. Everybody can learn with you, sometimes even me, so throw those questions in my mailbox. Or call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you all for downloading and listening. You rock. Happy pegging.